When I was a child, one of my favourite books that I like to read was called Pollyanna. Does anybody have read that? It's about a girl called Pollyanna, and she goes to live with her wealthy but very stern and quite cold auntie, Aunt Polly. And Pollyanna has been brought up to play a game that her father called the Glad Game. And her father came up with this game, which is all about being glad in every situation. And it started one Christmas when Pollyanna, who wanted to get a doll for Christmas, actually got a pair of crutches instead. And she wasn't obviously very excited about getting a pair of crutches for Christmas. She was only a young girl. You know, it's not what you want, is it? But her father taught her to look at the good side of things, and he said that she could be glad even about these crutches because she didn't need to use them. Okay, so he was trying to teach her that you could be positive in every situation. And when her father dies, she has to go and live with her Aunt Polly. And her aunt's very stern, and she's quite miserable, really. And Pollyanna's positive attitude, she teaches everybody to play this game, from the servants in her auntie's house to all her auntie's neighbours and everything. She teaches them to be glad, whatever's happening. And they all really like Pollyanna because of that. But then tragedy strikes, and Pollyanna's hit by a car in an accident. And she loses the use of her legs and she can't walk. And obviously she's really sad about that. She's really upset. And she's confined to bed, feeling, you know, quite sorry for herself, as you would. And everybody comes to visit her, and they're telling her how much she's helped them because, you know, of her attitude. And her auntie doesn't know anything about this game because she's so stern that she didn't want to know about it. She's amazed at all these people that are suddenly coming to her house to see Pollyanna. And Pollyanna, even in that difficult situation, realises that she can be at least glad that she's had the opportunity to use her legs, because she's managed to bring so much happiness to other people. And Pollyanna, in a way, shows us how to be thankful. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 that we've got to give thanks in all circumstances. So this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. But a lot of us find it hard to give thanks in all circumstances. We find it even harder to do what Paul says in Ephesians 5, to give thanks for everything. You know, it's easy to be thankful on the days, you know, when the sun's shining and we feel happy and everything's going well for us. But it's much harder to be happy, you know, when it's cloudy or raining or the weather's not so great or we're not feeling very well, or we're facing lots of anxieties. Most of us live, you know, most of the time, being thankful and grateful only when we've got something that we feel that we can be thankful about. The rest of the time, perhaps we let worry or fear control how we feel. And Pollyanna's aunt had this attitude, well, what have I got to be thankful about? She was really quite miserable because she'd never managed to marry the man that she loved when she was younger. And she was left looking after this niece, you know, it was her duty to do that, but she wasn't very happy about having this young girl running round doing everything. And many of us can feel like that as well, you know, that life's not treated us fairly. Perhaps we've not, you know, made enough money to live in luxury. Or perhaps, you know, we've been widowed at an early age. Perhaps we've never had the joy of getting married, or perhaps we're facing illness and, you know, we don't know what there is to be glad about anymore. But in all of these situations, we're letting the situation define us rather than finding how to be glad in every situation. The psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. And God wants us to understand that he's in control and he loves us, no matter what the circumstances may be. We can give thanks in all circumstances because we know that he shapes all circumstances and he works all things together for good for those who love him. And Jeremiah, a prophet in the Old Testament, once gave a prophecy to God's people who were living in circumstances that were really bad. The circumstances were that they'd had to leave their native country because their country had been invaded by the Babylonians, and they'd been taken off to Babylon. They were being held in captivity, so they were exiled. It's a little bit perhaps like when children were evacuated during the Second World War and forced to go and live, you know, with people they didn't really know in the countryside because it wasn't safe for them to be at home. And these people, you know, they were really sad because they were in this foreign country, they weren't living with their own people in their own place, they didn't have jobs, they'd have to leave without all their stuff, a little bit, you know, like happens today when sometimes war comes and people are forced to flee their country. And these people, they were really sad because they wanted to go home, they wanted to go back to Israel. They were homesick. They sat by the rivers of Babylon and wept when they remembered Zion. And they said, how can we sing the songs of the Lord while we're in a foreign land? Their whole lives were defined by what had happened to them. And they felt that they'd got nothing to be glad about in Babylon. But Jeremiah was given a word from God to give to these people. And in Jeremiah 29, this is what he told them that God had said. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens, eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons, give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I've banished you, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Now, Jeremiah was really telling the people the opposite of what they wanted to hear, because they wanted to go back to Israel quickly. And he says that instead they've got to build houses, they've got to settle down there. Now, I know houses seem to shoot up really quickly these days, but, you know, it takes time to build a house, doesn't it? And he's told them to plant gardens and eat what the gardens produce. And it takes time when you're planting to grow things and to be able to eat what you grow. But he's telling them that they've got to stay in this situation in Babylon, not just for the next year or so. He actually tells them that it's going to go on for 70 years. Now, 70 years is a long time. It's a lifetime. Yeah? Moses said our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Nowadays, you know, people may well live to be older than 70 or 80. But it's a long time to be in a place where you don't want to be. And, you know, wasn't it a bit cruel of God to tell them that, rather than let them believe that they'd be home quickly? Well, you know, it was this idea that not only had they been carried off to exile, there were actually some of them going to die in exile. But you see, God deals in reality. He's the ultimate reality. You know, it's not all about fantasy land being a Christian. And some people, you know, don't like that book, Pollyanna, because they say that it's unrealistic to be glad about everything. But actually, you know, God is the maker of heaven and earth, and he shapes every second of our lives. And Jeremiah is making the people of Israel face hard facts. You know, it's not going to go how they want it to go for them. But he's showing them that the aim of the person of faith isn't just to be as comfortable as possible, but to live as deeply as possible in God, to deal with the reality of life, to discover truth, to create beauty, to act out love. And, you know, reality might well be facing that we're ill and we're not going to get any better. It might mean facing that the person that we love no longer loves us, or they've died and they're not there to love us anymore. It might mean facing that we don't have as much money as we used to have, and perhaps we can't live where we used to live. But when God tells us to give thanks in all circumstances and for everything, he's not saying that the circumstances are always nice or the situations are always good. That wouldn't be reality. But he does want us to live for today with grateful hearts, because the only place that we've got to live is right where we are, right now. The only opportunity that we have to live by faith is in the circumstances that we're provided with today. This family that we find ourselves in, this job that you've been given, the weather conditions that prevail right now. Jeremiah urged people to live for today and accept that God was there in the everyday and the mundane, in the ordinary. Even though things perhaps hadn't worked out the way they wanted them to work out, that wasn't the end of the story. And our circumstances are never the end of the story. You know, circumstances don't have the right to define us, because only God's got that right. That's why we can, even in difficult circumstances, give thanks. And every day we've got a choice how we live. You know, are we living in exile, feeling, you know, we don't want to be with this people, we don't want to be in this place, and so we're miserable. But every day we can face the decision to be like Aunt Polly, you know, miserable, sour-faced, always looking on the downside of things. Or we can be like Pollyanna and we can play the glad game, knowing there's joy to be found even in difficult circumstances, being grateful for little things. Jeremiah told the exiles some uncomfortable truths, but he said, you know, that God had got good plans for them, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. He said that if they sought God with all their hearts, they'd find him. And Paul said the same thing, you know, when he wrote to the Romans. God uses every circumstance of our lives, both the good and the bad, to shape us into the image of Jesus. And God wants us to live every day with thankfulness, being aware that he's working in our lives every day, whether we're in exile, whether we're facing death, whether we feel that life's pointless and got nothing for us anymore, whatever, God is with us. You know, we can look at life and complain at what's not there, or we can look at life and rejoice at what is there. And God wants us to know he's got good plans for us, and he's shaping us into a people that will be with him forever. We can be like Pollyanna, not just because we've got a sunny disposition or we're optimistic by nature, because we've got a good God, and that God never leaves us, he never forsakes us, he works all things together for good in our lives. We've got a God of hope. He fills us with joy, with peace, as we trust in him. And he says in Romans that we can overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So today's task is to be thankful and to be glad.